a real joy to be with you here this morning, and I really appreciate this good number being out here. And Glenn, really glad to see you, and just thanks for coming. It means a lot. Known that this family a long time. It means a lot to me. Y'all came out. It's good to see you, Miss Anita. I haven't got to meet you yet, but I'm looking forward to it, and it's good to see everybody out. And this will be my last Sunday as senior pastor, if you would call it that. And we're going to have a transition Sunday today. And a lot of mixed emotions, but the wonderful thing is I believe the Lord has led us, you know. And I don't really care where I go as long as God leads me.
Yes,
one of my favorite verses in Psalm 16:11 says that thou will show me the path of life. And in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And when God leads you somewhere and his presence is there, that's where the fullness of joy is. That's where you want to be in your life. You want to learn to follow God. Learn to follow God in your life. And we'll have a bit of a, at the end of the service today, it'll be a little different. We're going to have a transition, and that'll be at the very end. And, at the very end of the service, after we get done with that transition, Pastor Tyler, he's going to be your pastor, okay? He's going to be your pastor, and I'll be taking on a new role, and I'll be going into a role of, I'm going to be associate pastor, and I'm going to help him whatever way I can. My focus is going to be on missions. I'll be associate pastor with missions, outreach, things like that. And so we'll be doing more focusing on mission work, but really want to stay here at the church if we can. This will be our home church. And the Bible, when they sent out missionaries, the church, they laid hands upon people, they set apart, and they sent them out. And in Acts 13, in the church of Antioch, they sent out the missionaries. And those missionaries, that was their home church. They came back to them, gave them a report. And that's what we'd like for this to be our home church, if the Lord will allow that. That's what we're going to do. And then after that, we're going to have a fellowship. We're going to celebrate and just celebrate the transition and the great things, how God has led. What we're doing here, church, is a very unique thing. This doesn't happen a lot. It really doesn't. And it's just neat. There's a lot of people watching Mountain City Baptist right now. They're saying, how's that going to work? You know, I've seen this done. This isn't something that Pastor Tyler and I came up with. It's a pattern that we've seen set. We believe it's a biblical pattern. And so it's just really neat to be a part of it. And I appreciate you all. There's been just 100% unity in all this with all the church. But we'll have a time of fellowship here after church today. Heard someone once say when two or more Baptists gather in his name, a chicken's going to die. That's what's going to happen today. A lot of chickens died this morning, and we're gonna have a great time after church today. But I had no idea what I was going to say today, and I even had some notes, but I left them at home. I don't have any notes today. But God, when I started pastoring about 4 years ago, this is really the verse that God put on my heart. And the book at Colossians is Paul's writing a letter to the church at Colossae. And one of my favorite books, I love the book of Colossians. I got a lot of favorite books. But he's writing to this. And this, I believe this scripture is the pinnacle of the book of Colossians. It really is. And so that was the theme when I started pastoring. The Lord just put that verse in my heart, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I want it to be about Jesus. Amen. Always did.
Amen.
I didn't want it to be about me. I didn't want it to be about, you know, some camp or some movement or anything like that or some preference, but be about Christ.
Amen.
And God's honored that. And I believe you've got a pastor coming on, and that's his heart's desire as well. We have kindred spirits like that all things he might have the preeminence. But if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And let's start here, and let's all stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able. The Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You can be seated. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and for this wonderful, wonderful group of people, Lord, that is called Mountain City Baptist Church. So, Lord, thank you for them. And God, I love them, Lord. I know you love them. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us Christ. God, we seek to exalt him today and just lift up his name today. And I pray you'll have your will and your way in this message tonight. All these things, or this morning, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as we look at these passages here, I want to really just focus on the point that the last part of verse number 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that's a kind of a special verse even in our family. My mom and dad, they've got that ingrained in their wedding rings, both of them, that verse, in all things he might have the preeminence. And that's been a great theme for their marriage. It's just been wonderful to see God's hand on that. But when you make God preeminent, there's several things that are going to happen. And that's the key. Make it about Jesus, all right? Make it about Jesus. And when Christ is preeminent, it is all about him.
Amen.
All right? When you keep it like that, everything will work out in your life, all right? You keep it Christ preeminent. It will work out in your church. When we lift him up, and I think about, making Christ preeminent. And that's easier said than done. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary, he once said this: either Christ is everything, or if he's not everything, then he's nothing. So, what is Christ to you? Is he preeminent in your life? When he is preeminent, it is all about him. And I think about different people in the Bible that understood this truth, that the preeminence of Christ. And the one character in the Bible that comes to mind is John the Baptist. I believe John the Baptist understood this better than anybody.
Yes,
and I'll tell you why I believe John the Baptist understood this better than anybody is because Jesus himself said there's never been a greater man on the earth than John the Baptist. And so that really gets my attention. When Jesus says that about a man that's been the greatest man on the earth is John the Baptist, what was it about John the Baptist that made him great? And he understood this about the preeminence of Christ. And what was going on, if you can keep your finger in Colossians chapter 1 and turn over with me to John chapter 3, I want to show you a couple verses. And we'll talk about what was going on in John chapter 3. John the Baptist, he had a tremendous ministry. He was seeing a lot of people saved. There was a lot of people being baptized. And then his purpose of his ministry was to be the forerunner of Christ. Well, people didn't really understand that fully. Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus, of course, his ministry was taking off. People were beginning to follow Christ. And so there was some comparisons being made, and that's a natural human tendency, is to compare ministries. And I want to encourage you, as we go into this transition, don't do that. I'm very grateful. When I became pastor, I followed Brother Joseph and got to have lunch with him just the other week. It was really good catching up with him. But he was pastor here for 10 years, and I was with him for those 10 years. And at that time, there's a lot of people here I know that don't know Brother Joseph, but at that time when I became pastor, everybody knew him. He'd been here for 10 years. And so it's kind of hard to follow because we're creatures of habit, and a lot of us don't take change very well. But it just takes time. It takes time. And I was very grateful. I never had people really comparing. They never compared me to him. And vice versa. And so I want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't go to Pastor Tyler and compare, well, Brother Daniel did it this way or whatever thing. Or just, there's a lot of things you're going to think, okay? And the things that you think, you don't necessarily need to say out loud, okay? And that's just a good rule of thumb to live by. Just don't, you don't need to We don't need Captain Obviouses around here and things like that. So just, and John the Baptist, but John the Baptist was dealing with that. That is a natural tendency of people. But one thing, John the Baptist, when people began to compare, John the Baptist, he realized that ministry did not belong to him. And so they started talking about, Jesus is having all these people baptized and all this stuff, and his ministry, what's going on with your ministry? Look at his ministry. And he realized that his ministry really didn't belong to him. And John the Baptist, you can see, I believe in John chapter 3, you see the heart of John the Baptist. You see the character of John the Baptist. And I love this passage because in verse number 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And ministry does not belong to you. We are stewards of the ministry.
Right.
Everything that God, he gives us, he everything you've got that you have ability to serve God with, God gave it to you. One of the best advice I ever got, somebody said, hey, serve God with your talents. God gave it to you. And everything I've got, God gave it to me. It's nothing I came up with. God gave you what you got, and you turn around and give it. The best thing is just give it to God. Serve God with your life. But ministry does not belong to him. We're stewards of the ministry. And the Bible says that it must more of is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And so that's what God is looking for. He's looking for you to be faithful with what he has given you. You give your talents to God. You serve God with your talent. You let your life and your testimony be glorifying to God and bring honor to God. And everything that you do, bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And ministry does not belong to us. And so that's the one thing. And I believe Pastor Tyler has that heart. It's not, he understands, we're just stewards of this. This is God's work. This isn't our work. It's not about, and then the second thing, John the Baptist realized that when they started comparing him to Christ and all this thing, he just turned it. He said, ministry is not about me. It's not about me. It's not about him. This has never been about me. He turns it in John chapter 3, if we look over here in verses number 29 and 30, he gives the analogy of a wedding. He says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therein is fulfilled. So when you are at a wedding, let's say you're the best man in a wedding, that wedding ceremony, that's not, if you're the best man, it's not about you. It's not about you. This is not, it is their day. It's the bride and the bridegroom's special day. It's not about the best man. And so the best man is just happy for the bridegroom because he's getting the bride. He's getting married to the bride. And so that's the way John the Baptist, we realize this is about Jesus being high and lifted up, about Christ being preeminent. And that's what we endeavor to do in Colossians 1. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he, in that verse, in verse number 18, that's talking about Jesus. And the body is the church. You are the body. You make up the Mountain City Baptist Church. You're the body. And I love the church. I do. I love Jesus, and I love his church. And if you love Jesus, you're going to love the church. God has a plan for your life, and it's to be a part of a local New Testament Bible-believing church and to come together and have some accountability, have accountability with each other and have fellowship with one another in a place where you can love God and grow together and reach other people. That's what the church is all about. And that's what this place has been. And it's been a joy to my heart. It has been such an honor and a joy to be a pastor of this church. And I don't know anywhere it was never on my radar to be a pastor. God's always burned in my heart towards missions. And God was leading me in that way. And I thought that's where we're going. And then this came up, and then this is, God made it plain. He made it clear. This is what God wanted me to do 4 years ago. And we took a step of obedience in that direction. And let me tell you, I'm glad. You'll never go wrong following the Lord. And I have clear direction now. It's time to take the next step. But I'm glad that I came to this place. And I don't think I could have pastored anywhere else. But it was great. I could pastor right here at Mountain City Baptist. Because this is where God wanted me. And it was a joy to see people and to love people. And I just can't put it into words. It's one of the greatest joys of my life to be a pastor of this place. But the church, it was never about me. It's about him. It's in all things he might have the preeminence. And John the Baptist realized it's not about him. And he said after that, he says, I rejoice for the bridegroom. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. Every single one of us needs to get a hold of that truth in our life, in your life.
Christ must increase and we must decrease. Every one of us is driven by our self-will and our own ideas. And there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we must learn to decrease and he must increase. We must learn to deny our will and say, God, what is your will on this matter? I know what I'd like to do here, but what do you want me to do here? And he must increase and we must decrease. And when you get a hold of that in your life, you'll learn to follow the Lord. And that's the best thing you'll ever do in your life. And that's why John the Baptist, I believe he was one of the greatest men that Jesus said that, because he realized Christ must have the preeminence. And then thirdly, John the Baptist, he learned that he knew that ministry had but one purpose. One purpose. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the whole purpose of ministry. Now, there can be many different programs. There can be many different ways, tactics of doing things, all kinds of different things you can do and try, and they're all great things, but they're all for one purpose. And the one purpose is to introduce people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what you want to do. Everything you do is all about is paving a path in the heart of people to introduce them to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everything is about evangelism. Everything leads to discipleship. We're just right on each other's heels this morning from the Sunday school lesson. And that's what everything. And if it's not that, then you know, why do it? Everything has a purpose. And Pastor Tyler, that's how he rolls. I mean, that is how he's got a heart for that. And that's a wonderful thing. And I am so glad that God has led him to this place. And I've heard many of you say that. Many of you have said, Brother Daniel, we don't want to see you go, but you sure did pick a good one. And I didn't pick him, but God picked him. But God did put it on my heart, and I brought it to you, and you voted in unison and 100% that this would be God's man. And God led. God led in this. This is the work of God. And I am so thankful that God led in that direction. But that's what we must, when Christ is preeminent, it's all about him. And it's not about me. And so remember that. That's where things will happen in your life where you get off. When you start thinking it's about you and you're thinking like, oh man, you know, I really deserve this, or I do, you know, I need this, and you know, I deserve this. And no, it's not about you. It's all about him. Make it all. Now I'm going to show you the benefits of that mindset. And that's what Paul is preaching here, the church at Colossae, to make it all about Christ. And I believe, man, the church at Colossae, what a wonderful, wonderful church it was. And then when Christ is preeminent, God the Father is pleased. Let's look on down here. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "For it pleased the Father, in him should all fullness dwell." So if you want to please God with your life, and that is, I love the Lord. And I want to please him with my life. So how do I please him? Well, I make it all about Jesus. Okay? That's what it's saying here. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Jesus, he is. He's got the fullness of God. Jesus, he was God. Yeah, he had the Holy Spirit in him. He was led by the Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. He was the fullness of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. If we look on back a couple of verses in verse 17, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "is before all things, and by him all things consist." It says in verse number 16, "For by him were all things created, and were in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Jesus Christ is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He has the fullness of God. It pleased God. So God is pleased when we exalt the Son, when we make it about Christ, when we lift up the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, "When I am high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And when you learn to do that, when you lift up Christ and make it about him, Mountain City Baptist Church will have a drawing power. It does. It has a drawing power, and it draws people to him. And that's a wonderful thing. Keep it about Jesus. And we want to exalt the Son. Now, the second thing, the way that God is pleased and we make it about Jesus, is we obey his word. We obey his word. Now, we are trying to follow, I believe, a biblical pattern we've seen throughout the Bible. You have patterns in the Bible where Moses, He trained Joshua, and he transferred things over to Joshua. Joshua took the lead after Moses. You have Paul with Timothy. There's several other patterns you'll find throughout the Bible, and that's really what we've tried to do. That I know some situations in churches that's not possible, but I'm glad God's let us do that.
Amen.
I'm so grateful for that. And that's something that God did with me when I became pastor. We kind of follow that same pattern. And then now with Pastor Tyler and myself, and we're trying to follow after these things. And that's what you will please God. You will make Christ preeminent when you make much of God's word.
Amen.
You will make Christ preeminent when you learn to obey God's word, when you submit yourselves to God's word. Now, that's where people go astray. We can't make up our own rules, all right? This is the book that we want to live by.
Amen.
We want to live by this book.
Yes.
So have your life line up with this book,
Amen.
And that is a way that you can make Christ preeminent in every aspect of your life.
Yes.
And so, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Yes.
And so we search out the scriptures, and we get our life to line up with the word of God. And I want you to, another thing that God has set if we look on in this passage, it talks about how he made, it says, whereof in 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So the church, God has set it up that way. God has set it up that way to be led by a pastor. And that is, if you're going to follow the word of God, you're going to be a part of a church, and you're going to have a pastor. That's the way God has set this up. That is part of his word. That is the structure that God has ordained, and that is what he has instructed. So I want you to stay with the church. I want you to have a pastor. Most people, they like having a preacher, but they don't like having a pastor, and there is a difference. And so Pastor Tyler is going to take the role of pastor, and that's you pray for him, okay? It's the greatest joy of mine I've ever had, but it's also one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, and there's some great heartache that will come, and nobody's ever going to really understand that except him and his wife. She'll understand some of it, and she'll bear some of that, and that's a very difficult thing, but I want you to follow and exalt, make Christ preeminent by following God's word and getting behind your pastor and loving your pastor and understanding your pastor has a great responsibility, and his responsibility is higher than just being your buddy and higher than just being your friend, and he'll be all those things, but he must make sure that everything at Mountain City Baptist Church is in accordance to the word of God, and he must follow that standard. I want you to read over in Hebrews chapter 13. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17, the Bible gives this instruction. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. That's talking about your spiritual leadership in your life. And submit yourselves for, why do you want to do that? For they watch for your souls. Now, I didn't understand that really until I became a pastor. And when you become a pastor, I heard about it all the time. I was a preacher for many years before I became a pastor, but there's a big difference. And when I became the pastor, oh man, you watch for the souls of your people. You're very interested. You're very interested, and it's always on you. It's always on your heart. You're always thinking about your people. You're always thinking about it. When they're not there, you're like, what's wrong? And, you know, I notice this one's a little more withdrawn. There's something wrong here. Something's off right here. And it'll just, you watch for their souls. But the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account. And I want you to understand this. Pastor Tyler is going to have to give an account for every single thing that happens at Mountain City Baptist Church. Everything. Everything. From every position of leadership, musicians, Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night activities, Bible school, anything to do with outreach, everything to do with Friday night, FTL, all these things, he's the one that will have to give an account for it. And he's got that burden on him. And so just understand that. And again, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for you. They must give an account. Now, if you'll be humble about that, and allow him to be your pastor, the Bible says that when they give an account, they will do it with much joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So I want you to understand something. How your relationship with your pastor, if it's good, in obedience, you look to him as a pastor in your life, you submit yourselves to him, and you honor that position. And that position is a God-appointed position. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with ability. God appointed it. I'm gonna get to that here in just a minute. Okay. But when you do that, he'll give an account, and he'll be able to do it with joy in his heart. And there's nothing. Now, let me tell you, there's been many of you out here that are just, you've been a joy to be, it's been a joy to be your pastor. And then some, it is, there's grief. There's grief. It's very difficult. But the Bible says, if that be the case, the Bible says it's unprofitable for you. And I tell you, I have witnessed that in my life. It's unprofitable, and I want to be on the right side of that. And you do too, and I want that for you. And you can. You can do it. You can do it. You can never go wrong with humility. You can never go wrong with following the Word of God. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. And submit yourself to His way. And so God is pleased when we make much of Him and we obey His Word. And then Christ is also, when Christ is preeminent, Jesus provides everything that you need. If we look back in our text here in the book of Colossians, the Bible says in verse number 20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth." Number one, the biggest need that you have is salvation. You need salvation. We're all born with a sin nature, and our sin separates us from God. And the only person that can meet that need is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can pay the sin debt. Jesus is the only one that was born of a virgin. Jesus is the only one that lived a perfect life on this earth. Jesus is the only one that shed His blood upon the cross. Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead the third day. Jesus is the only one who is a sacrifice acceptable unto God that God will accept. He's the only one. He's the only one. Jesus will provide everything you need. He will provide your salvation, but He will provide everything you need for your life. Jesus will provide your joy and your satisfaction. Jesus will give you your purpose in your life. And that's what most people, they just want to be happy, and that's where people mess up. People think, well, I need this to be happy. No, you need Jesus. You need your relationship with Jesus. You need to make Him preeminent in your life. He will give you your happiness. He will give you your joy. He will give you your ability. Make Jesus preeminent. Don't make your job preeminent. Don't make your money preeminent. Don't make your family preeminent. Don't make your children preeminent. Make Jesus preeminent. And God will give you a great joy with all those things that more than you could ever imagine. Make Him preeminent. Make Him preeminent. He will give you everything you need, and He will give you the ability to do what you need. And I tell you, you're gonna experience this. God's going to enable you to do things you just never thought you could do. Same for you, Miss Carrie. God's going to enable you. And it's just amazing to see God, the hand of God upon people. Many of you are going to need to step up and do some things and to jump into some places. Maybe if my wife and I are gone and traveling, you need to fill those roles, fill those voids and things like that. God will enable you. Many of you are stepping up. It's been a great joy this past year to see some of people taking on things and teaching classes and growing in the Lord and seeing God's hand upon Brother Chris. What a great joy that's been to see and to watch that. But God will enable you. He'll give you everything you need. He'll enable you when you make Him preeminent. He will give you the grace for living. Not only the grace for salvation, but He'll give you the grace you need for living. If you're struggling with your children, you're struggling at work, you're struggling in a relationship, you're struggling financially, make Christ preeminent in your life. Make Christ preeminent, and He will provide your needs. He will get that right, and He will take care of everything. I want you to see in the passage here, it says, you know, he talks about, "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God." On down that verse is, "Wherefore I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." So he's talking about Jesus is preeminent in my life, and Jesus is the one working in me, and Jesus will work in you to do what you need to do. If we look over here at the at the position of pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he says this, says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath what? Enabled me. And they see that? God enables you to do what you need to do. And that he counted me faithful. And look at this, putting me into the ministry. And that's what God is doing right now. God is putting Pastor Tyler into the ministry. This is a God appoint. This is God's appointment. I believe we're just following the Lord's leading in this. But it's an appointment that God, when God appoints a man as a pastor, he takes on that role. And he's that role, and it doesn't. And again, it's not. There's nothing here about age or ability or personality. It's that appointment, because God has found him faithful, and I found him faithful. And I know I'm not God, but I did. I've just been working with him enough all these years, and I've watched him, and he has been faithful, and he's faithfully preached the word of God. And it's an honor, brother. It's an honor. It's a double honor. The Bible says to be in a place of a pastor, and so. I encourage you. You give him that honor. You give him that respect, and you get behind him. And God will bless your life. He will bless your home. He'll bless this church. You take care of him. God will take care of you. And you guys have been very, very good to me, my family, and we love you. And I appreciate you. But when you make Christ preeminent, he'll provide everything you need. You don't need anything else. People think they need this and that. No. You need the preeminence of Christ in your life. And I encourage you to do that. And and I want to say, we're going to close out here. But I want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be your pastor these past 4 years. And I just appreciate my wife. I don't know what I'd have done without her. God said he gave us a helpmeet. Oh, man. She has been a helpmeet. And it's been neat to see her blossom as a pastor's wife, and my children, and Anna. I don't know where Anna's at, but, wow, it's just neat to see God's hand on Anna in her life, and just enable her to meet a need the church had with the music. And God's going to, he's going to keep on doing those things. He's going to provide. He's going to enable. I appreciate you all. And you got a big part. I mean, there's a lot about the qualifications of a pastor, but that you have, every one of you have a responsibility as a church to be faithful members and to be in your place. And that's what also gives qualification, okay? And so I encourage you, just continue, all right? Continue thou, all right, the things thou hast learned. Keep it going. And I think the best days of Mountain City Baptist are ahead of it. I really do. And I do. I believe that God's got his hand upon Pastor Tyler. And I love him. And I know you're going to love him. And let's go ahead and let's bow for a word of prayer. And Anna, why don't you come? Let's have a time.